Welcome to Grace Community Church On Demand, the weekly podcast from the Sunday services at Grace Community Church in Rupert, Idaho. Here at Grace, we believe in building the kingdom of God one person at a time. We're passionate about loving God, loving people, and following Jesus. Let's get into this week's message.
Good morning. Well, I stand corrected. In first service, I said, wow, this is the most amazingly good-looking group of people I've ever seen, and I stand corrected, all right? Hopefully none of you from first service stayed over for the second service. So, awesome. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. What a better place to be than here today, all right? I've been some fun places, all right, and I done some things that I thought were pretty fun, but there's nothing like the feeling you get from being in God's presence, all right? You can't duplicate that, all right? You can't ball it up. You can't, I mean, nothing, all right? So you can't go to Six Flags and, like, feel God's presence like you do here this morning, okay? So it's awesome, and I'm just thankful for that. So this morning in first service, Pastor Javi joked that since I took so long, he was going to make everybody stay. So I hope he's prepared for an hour, because I'm just going to walk off of here right now and let him take the whole time. So that's awesome. All right. Choices. This morning we're going to talk a little bit about choices. All right. And we make so many choices every day, whether it be consciously or subconsciously. But to start out, I want to go over a couple really important choices. Okay. Awesome. All right. So my first part of my intro here, this way, that way, another way. Every day we face so many choices. You made so many of them this morning, probably without even realizing it. What to wear, where to turn to get here, what to eat for breakfast, what you wanted in your coffee. Just choice after choice after choice. We're faced with choices day after day. All right, there we go. All right, there's another very important choice. Yesterday was really nice and we cooked outside, but I couldn't find a good watermelon. But that's an important choice, you know, because there's nothing like cutting open a watermelon and it's terrible. And it just ruins the whole thing, all right? So there's so many different ways of picking it up to make your choice. Some people tap on it, you know, if it's got pollen marks or, you know, all that is good. But another one, choices. All right, what's the next one? This is the most important one right here. If I had to choose between eating tacos every day or being skinny, would I choose hard or soft tacos? All right? So, yeah. What is that word skinny, by the way? So, anyway. All right. So, Joe Dirt, is this where you want to be where Jesus comes back, or when Jesus comes back? Matt went to Vegas for a conference, and I actually sent this to him on his phone because he was in Vegas. But anyway, but the thing about that picture, can we go back to that one really quick one more time? All right. Some of us had that hairstyle by choice in the 90s, okay? I look back at some of my pictures from school, and I was like, I should have made better choices, okay? All right, the next one. You have to choose to believe in yourself, okay? Because if a tortilla can rise up, so can you, all right? So just choose. Let's have some fun this morning. And the next one. All right. The Cook brothers did a great skit on this one day, and I could not stop laughing. My wife elbowed me for quite a while. But now that the bruise is healed up, it says, what would you like for your last meal? And the woman in jail says, well, I don't know. What do you want? You know? So that doesn't happen to me. I just thought it was funny. Okay? All right. Besides giving my life to Christ, this is the best choice I ever made besides that. So, all right. I needed that last slide to make up for the previous one, okay? So, awesome. All right, this morning I just, let's get started, okay? So, wow, that didn't work out well. Let's see, there we go. You know, Sister Bonnie Latta had a great word this morning, all right? And guys, Exodus 23:35 or 23:25, this is free. This isn't part of my message, all right? So this part's free, all right? But it says, if you worship me, the Lord your God, I will bless you with food and water and take away all your sickness. All right? That sounds pretty simple. I'll bless you with food and water and take away all your sickness, all right? If you knew the rest of your life you didn't have to worry about any of those things for sustenance and knew that you would be healthy, that would be enough, all right? But God blesses us with so much more, even more than that. But all he asks is, if you worship me, the Lord your God, I will bless you with those things. And that's what he wants to do, all right? He's blessed. When we worship like we did today and just come into his presence and lift him up, he's blessed. We put a smile on his face this morning, all right? When we had a gentleman baptized this morning, hey, you know what? The word says heaven fires up when people make decisions to follow Christ, all right? And I just hope that that is always a staple of this church, that if nothing else, you know, they can't say, well, they had great potlucks or they had a nice sanctuary. No, they led lives to the Lord. That's what I want to be known for, all right? And I just, yeah, that part was free. Anyway, so go back here. Okay, this morning I'm going to talk about some choices, all right? Choose life is my first one. All right, and I'm looking at Deuteronomy 30:19. It says, today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants may live. All right, when I talked about this morning, you had all kinds of choices this morning when you got up, you know. Ladies, it probably took you a few more choices than us guys to figure out what you were wearing to church, but you all look very nice this morning. But we make so many different choices, but this is one that it just is right in front of us. When you're breathing, this is your choice. It's been in front of us, is set forth life and death, and we get to choose, all right? We're not predestined, all right, to live a terrible cursed life. God wants to give us life, like Sister Bonnie said, and life more abundantly, all right? And so much of that begins with a choice, all right? I think about some of the choices that I made in my own life, okay? And I think about how some of those choices weren't choices for life, all right? And I made the joke with somebody the other day that I never really, like right now, I'm kind of flying by the seat of my pants because I didn't plan on living this long. You know, I see these commercials for retirement and I thought, I didn't even think I'd see 30, let alone I'm 31 now. I never even thought I'd, Jason caught that way too fast. So I never thought I'd really plan this long, and it was because of some of the choices that I made, all right? And I could tell you about some of those choices, but my mother's in second service and right now, it's probably best that she still doesn't know about them. And some of them were 25 years ago, all right? But it's just, it's best because she cooks good and I want her to keep feeding me when I go over, all right? Oh, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. All right, so to me that lays out already what God has planned for us. A future, that means it doesn't end now, all right? That he's looking forward, he's looking ahead for us. He knows what's gonna happen. This morning I had the privilege of praying with a young lady and I said, you know what, the word promises, all right? God's word says, all right, before we were in the womb, he knew us. He knows the hairs on our head. If he knows all that about me, how's he not gonna know my future? And it says he has a future for me, for joy and for peace, for life, all right? And so the other part of that is I have to take and I have to choose it, that I want to make the right choices to align myself to experience those things that God has for me, okay? Choose wisdom, all right? Wisdom's an interesting thing, all right? And I'm going to pause for a second and tell you right now, there is wisdom that lies in this room, okay? Guys, if you have children, all right, and you've got your first child and you're thinking, man, what am I gonna do with this kid? We have people in this room that have raised children, some that have raised grandchildren. Go to these people and seek out some of this wisdom, all right? I promise you, you're not in a situation that hasn't been experienced in this room by somebody else, all right? There's a gentleman that was in first service that is a good friend of mine, and I told him, you amaze me, like, God delivered him from meth right away. Like, it wasn't like, well, I'll wean myself off or I'll go to rehab. Instantly, God took that away from him. And I said, you bless me. I said, you got good looking teeth. And sometimes people don't escape for that with good looking teeth. And I says, and every day God keeps blessing him over and over and over. And I see just such promise in his life. And I think, God, amazing what you can do in life. There's people like that in this room. We've had people that have been in prison. We've had people that have been divorced, that have been married for 60 years. Guys, seek people out and say, hey, I'm going through this. I know, as somebody told me, that you might know a little bit about this. Can you partner up and pray with me a little bit? Because I need wisdom, all right? I remember when I was a kid, my dad would tell me something, you know, and he's like, hey, you know what? You probably need to do this, and be in a just a know-it-all teenager. I said, oh, okay, whatever, Dad. Just kind of dismiss. I don't even think I took the effort to say whatever. I just didn't listen, all right? And then somebody else tells you something, and it's like, wow, skyrockets go off, and it's the most profound thing you've ever heard. And I'd call my dad, guess what so-and-so just told me? And he's like, I've been telling you that since you were 10, you know? But it's the fact that you hear it from somebody else. So seek those people out that can speak life to you, all right? That can speak and say, hey, I see what's inside of you. I see the potential that God has. I see the plan that he has for you, and you need to take the steps, all right, to be wise and to grasp a hold of those things, all right? Yes, he is just wisdom. And I think we have to choose to ask God for wisdom in every situation. All right, Pastor Javi's going to come and talk, and I won't even like give you a preview of what he's going to talk about, because it's so awesome that I know it's going to be impactful for you. But that wisdom helps you it's okay to know, like you can say, hey, I'm wise, you know, I'm going through some good spots. But when you're in a rough spot, that wisdom is what comes through, and it speaks to you through the Holy Spirit, you know, those things that you've put into your life by choosing. All right, Proverbs 8:10 says, wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. All right, God's word promise, these are promises. God doesn't lie. All right, wise choices will watch over you. You don't think wise choices will watch over you? Walk in front of traffic against a don't walk sign. Is it a wise choice to wait till the cars are gone? Absolutely. It sounds funny. It's a simple choice, but really, how many things do we get faced with every day? And it's like it says earlier, we have life and death set before us, and it's that simple. And sometimes we choose those negative things, the death part of that equation, and it puts more effort to get into those things than if we would have just chosen what God has for us in the first place. All right? Proverbs 2:11 was the first one. Proverbs 8:10 is, choose my instruction rather than silver and knowledge rather than pure gold. All right? God's instruction can't be bought. All right? It's found in one book, okay? But it says it's worth more than pure gold or silver and pure gold. All right? If I told you I have an armored truck outside full of pure gold bars, and all you have to do is go out there and take it, I'm sorry, some of you would run like you've never ran before, all right? You'd be out there, all right? But wisdom greater than that pure gold and that silver is right here in this book, and sometimes we won't even open it up, all right? It's our choice. It's our choice to do it, and rather than do something else, and I'm guilty of it too. Sometimes I pick this up, and this becomes more important than this. And I say, I don't have time for this. All right. But I make a conscious choice. All right. And I say a conscious choice because I pick this up and say, oh, what's going on social media? I wonder what so-and-so is doing. You know, hey, oh, Rick made some really good looking tacos yesterday. Oh, wow, that's cool. All right. But my life doesn't come from this. My life comes from what's inside these pages, what God's promised me, that if I make those choices, I'm not just going to have life. Like Sister Bonnie said, I'm going to have life more abundantly. And I don't know about you, but that's the kind of life that I want. Okay. All right, good deal. We're going to have to take offering again. Here we go. Choose a future, all right? Joshua 24:15, okay? It says, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, okay? This morning, I used the example of, oh, those people that lived in England that said, hey, I don't want to live here anymore. Over the reign of a king, all right, with no freedoms. They're going to tell me how I have to worship. They're going to tell me what I have to do all the time. All right, they didn't want anarchy. They wanted freedom, okay? I don't want anarchy in my life. I want the freedom that God brings to my life, all right? I don't want chaos, all right? I want his order in my life so that I can live a blessed life. But they made a choice that affected all of us, okay? If it weren't for the Lord, none of us would be here. That's simple, okay? But guess what? If it wasn't for a few people that said, hey, we're willing to leave behind everything that we know, cross an ocean in a place that we know nothing about, risk disease, starvation, all those things for a better life, we wouldn't be here this morning, okay? But because somebody made a choice at some point in time that says, I want something better for my family, I want something better for myself, and I want a future, they did that, okay? And they crossed that ocean, and because of that, we have the freedoms that we have to live in what I think is the best country in the world. Because somebody made a choice for their future, all right? To say, hey, I'm not living the same thing, all right? My grandfather passed away in January, all right? And I think back to him, his whole family, none of them were Christians, okay? All right? And he had an encounter with God, and he gave his life to the Lord and made a radical transformation in his life, all right? You're talking about a 180, okay? That's what God did in his life. And just a radical, and he held on to that so strongly for so many years. And my mom made a comment. She says, I think it was because the radicalness of what God did for him, the things that he saw, okay? At some point, his own mother said, if that's what you choose, then you're no longer welcome in my house. She had a little figurine, one representing each of her children on a shelf. And when he did that, she turned his around or took it down. I can't remember which one, all right? But gave up on him because of the choice he made, all right? That choice that he made affected my mom's future, his future, my future, okay? It starts somewhere, okay? It all starts somewhere. I made this comment in the first service. I pray every day that my boys serve the Lord above all, first thing, that they know God, that they love him, that they seek him, that they run after him, okay? And we thought about this on both sides of my family, my wife's side and ours. They're fifth generation Christians, okay? I'm not telling you that to brag or out of conceit, because so much of that can change with one bad choice, okay? But that all began with one good choice on somebody's part that says, no more, all right? I'm not staying a slave to the things that have bound my family for years. The chains and these things that have bound us up, that they say, oh, I do that because my dad did it, or I do that because his dad did it, or I do this to my wife because, you know, I watched my dad do it. No more, okay? I make a choice and say, no more. For us, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, okay? And that's what it takes to change, all right? So I'm looking at all of you here. Some of you may be first generation, and that's awesome. Be a pioneer, all right? If that's not started in your family, be a pioneer and start that and say, hey, I don't want the things that my dad and grandpa had. I don't want the things that their dads and grandpas passed down that were negative. I want God to be first and foremost in this family from this day forward, all right? Choices affect so much of what we do, all right? And sometimes they're not easy, all right? We have to choose through difficulties. We read about Job in the Bible. Okay, Job had everything. He had riches, he had livestock, he had land, he had a family, okay? And at some point, the devil came to God and said, hey, and what's going on? You know, and God said, have you considered my servant Job, all right? That right there spoke of who Job was. Of everybody in the world, God said, have you considered Job, all right? And I think, wow, he must have been a good man, all right? And the devil said, well, of course he's a great man. You've never let anything happen to him. So God says, you can do whatever you want to him, just don't take his life, all right? So Job lost his land, he lost his livestock, and he lost his children, okay? And you know what he said? He didn't curse God. He didn't say, God, why'd you do this to me? Okay, one of my favorite verses, he says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, he's sitting in a ring of ashes, coated from head to toe, black, because he was in mourning and sorrow from all these things. All right, and in that, all right, he chose still to say, God, I'm going to bless your name. I'm going to praise you. All right, I know you give, and I know you take away. And I believe he knew that God was going to give again. And he made a choice to say, hey, I'm going to serve the Lord, okay? And this is what happened. God restored to him how many times over what he had before because of his faithfulness to God. It starts with a choice, okay? All right. Pastor Javi, you're going to have plenty of time. So choose to love, all right? We have to choose to love. And every day, you know, you hear people say, well, I just don't love anymore. I don't love this person anymore. We fell out of love with each other, okay? We have to choose to love every day. I'm going to be really transparent here. I'm pretty sure my wife has to decide many mornings, I'm choosing to love this guy today, all right? When there's socks all over and my shirts are wherever and I'm not the easiest to live with, but she makes that choice and I'm thankful for that. We have to choose to love people, okay? As a church, we have to choose, all right, to love those in the world that don't know God. It's easy for me to love Pastor Javi. It's easy for me to love Sister Davina, all right? It's easy. Why? Because I know they're good people. I know that they love me back, all right? And they're good to be around, and hey, it doesn't take much work, all right, to love them. But how about those people in our lives that we butt heads with every day, all right? We walk into work and you're like, oh God, please, I'll give them sick days, please, like, you know? But we have to choose to love those people. Why? Because God chose to love us, all right? Then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He made that choice. I was thinking about this in between services. Jesus sat in the garden and toiled so much he was sweating blood, all right? Now, you think you've been through some stuff. I've been through some stuff, and I stress out, how am I going to make it through this? What's going to happen? How's this going to work out? Nothing but good old salt and water pour out of me, okay? But he was sweating blood. He was so agonized. But he could have chose to say, I don't want this, all right? I don't want this. But he made that choice to die for you and I because he loved us. And that's how we have to love people. Hey, it's easy to love people that are easy to love, all right? But God calls us to love everyone, people that we come in contact with. Anthony Baskey posted a picture with a rapper named Post Malone at the Salt Lake City Airport. All right, some of you may not know who Post Malone is, so I'll draw you a picture. He's a little bit lighter than me. I couldn't tell if he had dreadlocks per se, but he had tattoos, neck, a few on his face, different places. All right. I thought to myself, what would I do if I walked into church and he was sitting on the back row? Would he be the first person I went to shake his hand, all right? Or would it be Pastor Javi? Because I know and love him, okay? But I'm telling you right now, that person needs love just as much as the rest of us do. And you know what? Anthony handled that with grace. He's gone, so I can give Anthony a bad time now, all right? Have you ever looked at Anthony's hands? I've got big hands, I think, but he's got bigger hands than me. And I can only imagine him shaking this guy's hand, saying, hey, man, how are you? Can I take a picture with you? All right. And the guy's like, hey, probably sure. And Anthony's probably, knowing Anthony's like, hey, how you been? All right. He loved on that guy. All right. And Anthony may be the only Jesus that man may have ever encountered. You might be the only Jesus that people may ever encounter, all right? So when you think about a picture of Jesus, guess what? It should look like us, all right? It should look like you and I, okay? But we have to choose to love people, even when they're unlovable, because someone loved us when we felt unlovable, all right? And he loves us so much that he gave his life for us. He rose from the dead for us to give us life eternal. Like I told you earlier, I didn't plan on living past 25. Like, this is all new territory to me because I didn't figure this was going to be part of the plan. But because God chose to love me and I chose to choose him, he gives me that life. That I have a hope and I have a promise and I have a future. If you're here this morning, all right, and you've got things in your life, you say, hey, they don't belong there, first of all. Second of all, I don't want them here anymore, okay? Guess what? When you're in jail, they shut the door, okay? They shut the door and you're just imprisoned by the things and the choices that you have made. Guys, this is totally different with God, all right? He's got the door flung wide open, and sometimes we choose to sit on the bunk and stay there, all right? So this morning, as I finish up and Pastor Javi comes, I want you to think about that, all right? It's easy to choose in the easy times, but in the hard times, we have to choose. You say, God, I choose you because I know that without you, I am nothing, all right? Thank you all very much. Lord bless you.
Hey, can you guys give Rick a big hand? All right. You know, I brought this rag up here because I don't know how many of you guys have ever heard me speak. I'm trying to get myself to be a better teacher, and I think I'm doing a pretty good job. I teach for about 5 seconds, and then the rest is just all over the place. So I get a little bit excited. I sweat a little bit. You know, I was compared to, how do you guys know who T.D. Jakes is? You know, I've been compared to T.D. Jakes a lot. Not because of my preaching, just because of my sweating. So that's why I got that. So anyway, let's get into the word. I'm reading out of Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. It says this: Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk to him, tried to talk to him out of it. And he says, I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending from like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Then we skip to chapter 4. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards, he was hungry. Duh. 40. Anyway. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things will I give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil led him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. You know, I was reading, how many of you guys know that there was a time when there was no chapters and no verses, no verse numbers in the Bible? And you know, even though sometimes I think that chapters are good and they're helpful, I sometimes think that chapters and verses can be kind of a hindrance and it could lead us to miss some of what the writers are trying to say in their writings, right? So if you're anything like me, how many of you guys, you know, if you're anything like me, you know, you would read chapter 3 and read about Jesus' baptism and then take a break, go make a sandwich, and come back and read chapter 4 about his temptation. And you would treat these two verses like complete isolated from each other, like they don't even go together. But I'm here to tell you, what the thing is, these chapters need to be, they are together, they work together. They're not isolated, they're not separate events, they're events that have to be locked together and dependent on each other. Because if they would give you insight to the purpose that God has got for you. And if you put these two verses together and read them, they will give you biblical insight, biblical blues clues to what the Lord is trying to do with your life. I'm just telling you. Hey, I'm just telling you that there's a connection. There's a connection between these two verses. You know, maybe I should have read Mark chapter 1 instead of Matthew, because I love the way that Mark puts it. Mark in chapter 1, he says, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then the voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with wild beasts. Immediately, it says, he was drawn into the wilderness. See, it's crazy, it's that word immediately that frustrates me, right? Because the way I see it is, one moment he's getting baptized, the next moment he's in a battle. One moment he's in total community with his father. The next moment he's in isolation. One moment he hears a voice from heaven. The next moment he hears a voice from hell. One moment he's getting a word in the water. The next moment he's in warfare in the wilderness. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you guys have been where Jesus has been. Where one moment you're here in church, right? Everything is going great. You feel like you could go out into the world and conquer anything. I mean, you're here. And you're like, man, this is awesome. But this is the water. Tomorrow, you got to go to work. That's the wilderness. Come on, let's be honest. Some of you guys have to, right after church, go home. That's the wilderness. Just saying. I've talked to some of you guys. Does anybody know what it's like to transition from the water to the wilderness? The water to the wilderness. Listen, how come is it that every time when you're in the water and you're trying to get to the destiny that God has created for you, the purpose for your life, your GPS, God's positioning system, always tells you to start on water road and immediately make a ride into the wilderness. It's about the water and the wilderness. Before I talk about the wilderness, I want to talk a little bit about the water. Because I want you guys to understand, how many of you guys know that Jesus' baptism was a big deal? I mean, seriously, it was a big deal, right? Jesus' baptism was a big deal. Why no? It's such a big deal that if you don't put these two verses together and you treat them independently of each other, it could be like when you go to a movie and you're like me, you're outside putting a little bit of extra popcorn or extra butter in your popcorn and you miss the first scene of the movie. And then you go in there and you're completely lost. And you have no idea what's going on in the movie. You might as well just pack it up, go home, and watch the movie when it comes out on Netflix. It's good. You're going to be confused the rest of the movie. That's kind of what's going to happen if you treat these two verses independently of each other and you miss how important Jesus' baptism was. Jesus' baptism was incredibly important. Well, I know why I know do you know that out of four Gospels, out of the four Gospel writers, only two of them talk about Jesus' birth? That's Matthew and Luke. Mark and John don't even discuss Jesus' birth. How do you write a book in the Bible and miss Christmas? I don't get it. But yet, all four writers found it incredibly important to talk about Jesus' baptism and his temptation. Jesus' baptism was a big deal. You want to know why I know that it was a big deal? Because it says that immediately after he came out of the water, the heavens opened up. Immediately. When he came out of the water, the heavens opened. You know when the heavens open up, something's going to happen. Right? When the heavens open up, something's going to shift. Something's about to shift. Right? When the heavens open up, God is about to do something. How many of you guys are here this morning because you're wanting the heavens to open up over your life this morning? You're wanting the heavens to open up over your circumstance that you're going through. You're wanting the heavens to open up on your children. Whatever it is that you're going, you're here because you're wanting the power of heaven to come over you, because by yourself you can't do it. Jesus' baptism was a big deal. Do you know that the next time that the heavens open up, a trumpet is going to sound, and we're going to be called up to heaven to meet our Lord and Savior? Jesus' baptism was a big deal. I want you to know, the earth is not our home. We're just here for a short time. Heaven is our home. Something happens when the heavens open up. I know Jesus' baptism was a big deal. Well, you know why it was a big deal? Because it's the first time in all of Scripture, the only time in all of Scripture, that the Trinity shows up. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father was making the declaration. God the Son was in the water. And God the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. All three of them. Jesus' baptism was a big deal. Right? You know when all three of them show up, something's going to happen. Come on, church. That's good news right there. That's a big deal. I know Jesus' baptism was a big deal. I know why. Because of what the Father was proclaiming over the Son. The Father was declaring something that every Christian, every human being longs to know. He was declaring a transcending truth that needs to be the anchor of our Christianity. Because when we're anchored in this truth, guess what? When the enemy comes to attack, we're ready. And that truth is this: I am loved, I'm a child of God, and He is pleased with me. I am loved, I'm a child of God, and He is pleased with me. I am loved. Come on, church, I can do this by myself all day. I am loved. Somebody's got to say it this morning. I am loved. I am a child of God, and He is pleased with me. Listen, you know what will happen if you just ran your life through this truth? Your life would change. I know that when you walk in, you would hold your head up a little bit differently if you really believe that. If you put this in your heart, you will really believe this. I know that you would walk into a room completely different if you believe that you were a child of God and that you are loved and that He's pleased with you. Man, what it would be like to know that you are loved, that you're a child of God, and that God is pleased with you. You know what I dare you? I dare you guys to do this from now on. I dare you guys to, when you wake up in the morning, start getting ready for work, before you brush your teeth, I dare you to sit in front of the mirror and just preach to yourself. Just sit there and go, you know what? I'm loved, I'm a child of God, and He's pleased with me. You know what? Next time you go to Starbucks, and they ask you, what name do you want on your cup? You should say, I am loved, I'm a child of God, and He is pleased with me. You know what? Rick was talking about that guy with tattoos in his face. If you're thinking about getting a face tattoo, I'm not. But if you're thinking about it, I know what you should put on your forehead. I am loved, I'm a child of God, and He is pleased with me. Come on, church. What if you filtered everything in your life through that transcending truth? That truth would change your life. You know what's crazy is that most Christians, most believers, they stop right there. They stop at the water, right? They stop right after the water experience because you want to know what the water signifies? The water signifies identity. You know, when you go down in the water, the Lord is telling you who you are. He's speaking over His Son, saying, this is my Son whom I love and I'm pleased with. He's telling them His identity. That's what the water signifies. I want you guys to hear me for a second. I want you to know that the Father was declaring this over His Son before His Son did anything. He hadn't done anything. This was the beginning of him. He hadn't walked on water yet. He hadn't taken two fish and a couple of loaves of bread and created the first Red Lobster. He hadn't healed anybody yet. He hadn't done anything. And yet the Father is still saying, you are my Son, whom I loved, and I'm well pleased with you. How? He hasn't done anything. And God is saying, I know, because it has nothing to do with performance. It all has to do with proximity. And that's what's crazy. That's what messes believers up. You know, they stop right there, right at the water. I feel like you need to know that right after the water comes the wilderness. Right after the water comes the wilderness. See, when it messes believers up, I believe it messes believers up because we feel like once we get the approval of heaven, then the enemy can't touch us. Right? I mean, once God is pleased with me and he's smiling down on me, then the devil can't do anything to me. That's what messes us up. So we get all confused, and the consequence is that we relegate the approval of God to a better house, a better job, more money, better kids. We relegate it to blessings. Don't get me wrong, I believe that God wants to bless us. I don't think that God wants you to have enough. I think that God wants you to have more than enough. But the life of Jesus has proved positive that the approval from heaven does not exempt you from the attacks of the enemy. As a matter of fact, some of you guys are going through what you're going through right now because God is smiling down on you. See, when you... The smile from heaven attracts the dirty looks from hell. God always takes you from the water to the wilderness. This is God's system. He's always taking us from the water to the wilderness. You know that John the Baptist, he baptized people in the water. Right? But when he was asked, John, when they asked John who he said he was, he always said, he said, I am a voice crying out from the wilderness, crying out, prepare the way of the Lord. What's the way of the Lord? He takes us from the water to the wilderness. That's the way of the Lord. He takes you from the water to the wilderness. That's how God works. You know, I get it now. You know, the children of Israel, when God took them out of Egypt, they had to go through the Red Sea. Well, I know why? Because the Red Sea is composed of water. And see, when they were coming out of Egypt, Pharaoh's telling them that they're slaves. So God is taking them through the Red Sea because it's composed of water, and water identifies your identity. So he's telling Pharaoh, no, they're not slaves. They're my child who I love, and I'm well pleased with them. So he's giving them their identity back. And guess what? Right after they come out of the water, they go right into not the promised land, into the wilderness. It's God's process. They went into the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. It's a process. God takes us from the water to the wilderness. See, the thing about it is this. It's not about, do you know that the same Spirit that drew Jesus out of the water is the same Spirit that drew Jesus into the wilderness? So you know what it is? It has nothing to do with the wilderness, right? A lot of us, we think, you know what? That's where things happen. No, it has to do with who's waiting for us in the wilderness. Because Jesus went from the water to the wilderness. The same Spirit that brought him out of the water took him into the wilderness. So it's not about the wilderness. It's about who's waiting for you in the wilderness. So you have a choice to make. How are you going to handle the temptations of the wilderness once you go into the wilderness? Because you're going to go, right? Satan is sitting there in the wilderness, you know. He doesn't say a word. Jesus is fasting for 40 days. Gets to 15 days. All right, doesn't say anything. He's just watching. 25 days. Oh, he must be the Son of God. 25 days. Go, Jesus. Still fasting. 40 days fasting. Oh, you're done. Now I'm going to attack. He just watches. He just watches. See, how many of you guys are tired in here? How many of you guys are busy? See, that's the thing. See, that you go, you come here and you get filled up, but then you go out into the world on Monday, and all of a sudden you got to deal with work and you're busy. And then you got to go home and deal with children and all this other stuff, and now you're tired. And the enemy's just watching and waiting. He's not saying anything. He's just watching. And when if he can get you tired, if he can get you busy, then he's ready. He'll attack. That's how he works. How are you going to handle the temptations in your wilderness? That's your choice today. I know a lot of you guys, you sit there, like, okay, Javi, that, you know, how dare you talk to me like this? I've been coming to church longer than you have, right? I mean, I'm here every Sunday. I mean, I serve in security, and I serve in the tech team, and I serve in the worship team. You're just here when on Sundays, right? The rest of the days you're just golfing. I'm kidding. So how dare you? How you? I mean, I'm here today, right? How dare you tell me? Talk to me like that. It's like, listen, that's great. But you're here. This is the water. Tomorrow, you go to work. That's the wilderness. You have a choice. How are you going to deal with the temptations of your wilderness? All right, you guys ready for me to start preaching? That was just my introduction. I'm going to get ready. No, really quick. I'm going to give you guys four really quick points, because I still got like an hour. I'm good. Okay. I'm going to give you guys four really quick points that'll show you how to be able to make the right choice when you find yourself in the wilderness. Here are four things that you need to know. The first one is, where are you? You need to know where you are. See, the thing was this. Jesus was at the beginning of his ministry, right? The enemy was trying to stop him from doing what God had called him to do, right? Listen, I'm here to tell you guys that the minute you start to do something, be ready for the attack. The minute you're getting ready to start a business, there's the attack. The minute you get ready to start a family or get married, here comes the attack. You got to know where you are. See, John the Baptist had just announced that Jesus was the Son of God. And right after that, temptation. Right? You have to know where you're at. If you don't know where you're at in your wilderness, you'll never know how to get into your path to your victory. If you don't know where you are in your wilderness, listen, everybody's wilderness is different. Everybody's temptation is different. See, the thing about I work with a lot of people that want to come and get help from me. And I'll give you an example. Like a lot of people, we do marriage counseling, my wife and I, and they want us to come and just impart some kind of miracle in their marriage. And I say, you know what? That you don't want my wilderness, because the wilderness that I experience has made up most marriages fail. Everybody's wilderness is completely different. You have to know where you're at so that you can find your path to victory. Number two, the word is your weapon. The word is your weapon. With every attack that Jesus faced, what was his response? It is written. It is written. It is written. Not that it is tweeted. Not that it's hashtagged. I think I heard Pastor Travis speak a message a couple of weeks ago, and he said something. Let me find it. No. It is written. The word is your weapon. The word is your weapon. Listen, I find it intriguing that when Jesus was in the water, the word was over him. But when he was in the wilderness, the word came out of him. Listen, there's no way you're ever going to be able to counterattack whatever the enemy throws at you if you don't have the word in you. Come on, church, you got to hear that this morning. There's nothing. See, this is the crazy thing. It's most Christians, they'll quote a chapter in the Bible, John chapter 8, verse 32. And that says, the truth will set you free, right? Most Christians quote that. The truth is not going to set you free. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says, you will know the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's about what you know. See, if you don't have it in here, Jesus had the word in him, and when the enemy attacked, it came out of him. See, a lot of us, we struggle in the wilderness because we don't have the word inside of us, so we don't know how to counterattack the enemy's attacks. God is giving us every weapon that we need if we just know the word. And if you know the word will set you free. That is your weapon, people. Start using it. Listen, I get people that call me all the time, Javi, I'm going through this. Can you pray for me? No, you pray for yourself. Because you know the word just as much as I do. I'm not telling you not to call me, but listen, the thing about it is the word is your weapon. I can pray for you until I turn purple. I probably won't because I'm brown, but I can pray to you. Is that what I know is not going to save you. If I know the word, it's not going to bring salvation to my kids. I try to explain that to them the whole time I was raised. Listen, it's not your salvation is not dependent on me. You have to know the word for yourself, and the word will set you free. That is your weapon against the things of the enemy. I'm not telling you not to call me. I'm saying, you know what? You have direct access to your Heavenly Father. When you feel something, begin to pray. Begin to pray. Begin to shout out, it is written. In Jesus' name. And guess what? Right, as soon as you're starting to feel a little bit better, then call me. Then we'll go partner up and kick the devil in. Anyway, I got to go. Number three, I think that's where I'm at. What's at stake? You know what? This is the reason why I love Jesus. You guys want to know why I love Jesus? Because when he was going through his temptation, he had my salvation in mind. When he was going through everything he was going through, and he was tempted all kinds of times in the Bible, when he was going through that, he had my salvation in mind. That's why I love Jesus. That's why I can get up here and act stupid and sweat all over the place, not care what people think, because I love Jesus because he first loved me. He had the world in mind. See, a lot of people think that Jesus saved us on the cross. I like to think that Jesus was thinking of us in the water and in the wilderness. Why? No, why? Because this is what I think. Jesus' baptism doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. You guys, we just baptized two people today. You know why they get baptized? Because they're making a commitment to God that their old life, when they go and get buried in water, their old life is going to die and their new life begins. Jesus, he's the Lamb of God. There's no old life. The reason why Jesus was getting baptized, he told John, you know, we have to do everything that the Father requires. So he was being obedient to God, not for himself, but for every person that came after him. He knew what was at stake. Listen, some of you guys, you come here and you got to know what's at stake. It's your children. It's not just about you. It's about your children. It's about your children's children. Listen, you got to get to a point when you're obedient and you come out of the water and you go into the wilderness and you have the word of God inside of you so that you can be obedient to God, not for yourself, but for the future of your generation. Jesus knew what was at stake. It wasn't just him. He said, we have to do everything that my Father requires. It's not just about you guys. You got to know what's at stake. Number four. Where your help comes from. You got to know where your help comes from. The Bible said that after the temptation left Jesus, that the angels came and ministered to him. How many of you know that if Jesus needed ministering in the wilderness, how many of you guys know that we probably need a little bit of ministering when we're going through the wilderness, right? If Jesus needed a little bit of help, how many of you guys know we need a little bit of help? You got to know where your help comes from. And when you know where your help comes from, you raise your eyes to the hills and you say, God, I need you. I need you because I can't do this by myself. I need you. I have no strength on my own. Father, I need you to send angels from heaven to minister to me right now. When you know where your help comes from, that's what you tap into. You don't tap into your phone and see who I can call. You tap in to the one and only person that can save you and can be with you right there at that moment when you're going through a struggle. Yeah. You got to know where your help comes from. Is there anybody in this place today that knows where their help comes from? That knows that God is your Redeemer. Come on, if that's you, stand up to your feet and begin to clap and thank God because you know who God is. He's your Redeemer. He's your Protector. He's your Provider. He's never going to leave you by yourself. That's the God that we serve. Listen, church, you got some help. You got to know where your help comes from. You got to have the word in you. Listen, he takes you from the water to the wilderness. It's not about the wilderness. It's about the choices that you're going to make while you're in the wilderness. Amen?
That's it for today's teaching. Hey, here's an idea. Share today's message with a friend or family member. If you're listening from outside our fellowship, we'd love to meet you. Visit graceid.org and hit the contact form to get in touch. We'd also love for you to join us. Services are Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m., as well as our Wednesday evening service at 6:30 p.m. You can even check us out on Facebook Live by searching Facebook for Grace Church Rupert ID. Learn more and plug in at graceid.org. Thanks for listening to this week's message from Grace Community Church.